Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I've got to run to keep from hell, and I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more
win to the NLDS, yes.
But I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Chris McMahon.
Yeah!
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
Yes, sir. 1202. Mick Monagle here with you. Rosenberg's here, as you can tell. Yeah, I know you haven't done it yet. It's coming. Fliegelman is waiting to take over. Fliegelman is so happy right now. It is unbelievable. The joy oozing out of him. He won't stop talking to me. He's wearing his Met jersey coming from the game. They fired his head coach. The Mets. Only the Mets. The Mets in this magic carpet ride right now. We could all wake up, or at least I did it, whenever it was, to the news that the Jets fired their head coach in the middle of the season, and I'm not going to open with it. Because the Mets are one win away from heading back to the NLCS. Ba-da-da-ba-da-da. Thank you, Paulie. Safe ride home. See ya. But that's right, one win away from the NLCS, the first appearance since obviously 2015, and this performance from Manaea, and just what this team does. I mean, the watching this team be so anti-Met, right? I mean, right now, let's just, the feeling and the vibes around this team. When Alonso hits that home run, if any nerves are still with this fan base, if any fears, much like we'll have to deal with the Yankees, and we'll do it later in the show, and we will get to Robert Saleh, obviously, in the New York Jets, 888-808-1019. But the fears of the Yankee fans are oozing from their orifices, oozing from their pores. You could get contact nervous from just standing next to a Yankee fan. And the Met fan, if it ever existed at all, heading into this game, the Alonso home run quickly alleviates that. And Alonso in this, obviously, the opposite field home runs, and you could see he goes into this game with a plan, right? He goes in, and they were talking about on the broadcast, he wasn't looking inside. He is looking outside right now since that home run in Milwaukee going the other way. That is where he's looking to drive the baseball. He gets his favorite pitcher to hit in Major League Baseball, Nola, takes him deep to right field, and immediately, this is how the Mets are going right now. Immediately, it feels like a freaking party. And they're scanning the crowd, and we got all the grimaces in the crowd, and it's just, all it takes is one run. Giancarlo Stanton gets a base hit to score the run. You're waiting for Rodon to blow up. The New York Mets, in previous adorations of this team, score one run, and you don't feel all that good about it. It doesn't automatically become a party. And the combination of what this team's been able to do, and the idea that Sean Manaea was on the mound, made that home run and the entire rest of the game feel like a freaking party. Right now, Citi Field is the place to be. It was absolutely rocking. The ticket prices are through the roof. And the vibe around this team is if they are a team of destiny that cannot be stopped. And think about what, I mean, and then you get just to the baseball of it, right? And whether it's Vientos and the play and his arm strength at third base early on in the game. Where, I mean, if he's going to play third base like this, you want to talk about superstar in the middle of the lineup for the next however many years with the New York Mets. But he's making great plays. They're getting the home runs. Winker waving to the fans again, this time in a Met uniform after an absolute bomb of a home run. But this game is about Manaea for me. And what this guy has turned into, and they will, you know, I think if I heard the word crossfire another time in the broadcast, I might have went nuts. But the way he's changed, the way he's pitching right now, mid-season, I don't know if I ever remember such an effective adjustment from a starting pitcher mid-year to become what he's become, which is really, other than the grand slam against Milwaukee at the end of the regular season, like besides that game, the guy's been unhittable for half a year. And in this game, he is just mowing them down. And really, the game for me is won in the sixth inning, where they send him back out for the sixth. He walks Schwarber, and then he has what I would deem a non-competitive at-bat against Turner. He walks Turner. The ball four was up and away, not even close. And I was nervous. And I thought to myself, you know, this might be a time. I know you don't have the bullpen up just yet, but I know you want to get out Harper. But even if he gets out Harper, I might have somebody up for Castellanos, because I didn't like that walk to Turner. And he comes right back, strikes out Harper swinging on three sweepers, and then gets Castellanos to line into the double play. And that was the game. And right now, that's how the Mets are going. The Phillies have an opportunity a game. That's about it. They have one opportunity a game to beat them. That's how, if you're going to play the New York Mets right now, you better not squander your opportunity. And Diaz afforded them one in game two, and that's why the series was tied. The Philadelphia Phillies took advantage of their one opportunity in the game. And in game three, that sixth inning, with the leadoff walk to Schwarber after, I believe, getting ahead on him and then walking him, the non-competitive at-bat where he really just lost the zone against Turner, and then striking out Bryce Harper, and then getting Nick Castellanos to line out for the double play, that's the game. And from that point on, they obviously add runs where it looks like they have bases loaded. And again, the bounce back. And A.J. Pierzynski said it on the broadcast, which I thought was funny. Sometimes you got to bounce back when the other team scores runs, but sometimes you got to bounce back when the other team doesn't score runs. Well, then I suppose just bouncing back at any point is important. But they get through that, and then they go to the bottom of the sixth, and they have their inning and get right back. And it's like, Philadelphia, you had your opportunity, and now we're going to prove to you that it's over. And they get bases loaded, nobody out, and it looks like they're going to get out of it without scoring a run and maybe giving some momentum to Philadelphia after that top of the sixth, followed by an inning where they get bases loaded, nobody out, and don't give up a run heading into the seventh, and maybe you could build a little momentum. Where Iglesias grounds out to the fielder's choice, they come home for the out at the plate, Winker with the fly ball that's not deep enough to score, and then just when you think maybe the momentum could shift, because that would be a momentum shift, to have bases loaded with an opportunity to tag on, when that's what this team has done time and time again. If they make one more pitch to Marte, maybe Philadelphia can build some momentum. But they can't, because this Met team is not going to get the bases loaded and not score a run. Bases loaded, nobody out, and not capitalize? Not this Met team. Maybe in 2022. Maybe, you know, under different circumstances, before the magic has hit this team, before the meeting, before Lindor hitting leadoff, before Mendoza joined along, before Stearns came on board, this other versions of the New York Met team might be able to get bases loaded, nobody out, but not score. Not this Met team. And that Marte single obviously changes the game from a bloop and a blast to now a four-run lead. And that's it. And then you still send out Manaea for the seventh, which I thought again was a mistake. I understand you want to push him. I understand his pitch count. But that's, you get through that inning, you have a natural And they talked about this on the broadcast, too. I actually think comparing the broadcast, I don't want to compare the Yankees and Mets all together, but this broadcast compared to what the Yankees are dealing with, night and day. And Pruszynski said, like, after you get through that inning and the emotion of that double play in the sixth, it's a release. These are big, high-pressure games. I understand it's only 80 pitches, but each one of those are high-pressured throughout the entire game, and he just walked off the mound after getting out of the jam that could have cost him to send him back out there. I thought it was a mistake, but immediately he gets through the inning, no problem. It's one of the quickest innings he has in the entire game. Boehm swings at the first pitch and grounds out the third, and he gets through the seventh, and they send him out for the eighth. This Manaea and what he's become for this team, and watching and thinking about what Stearns has done with the rotation, guys that were at the time, Manaea signed to be traded at the deadline. Severino is signed to hope to, you know, get a good first half and move on from him. And instead, these are the guys bringing you to the brink of the NLCS. This is a guy changing the kind of pitch. This is a guy relegated to the bullpen last year in San Francisco. This is a guy struggling to find himself since a couple of good years out in Oakland. And here he is in the biggest game against their biggest rival and the first time they've ever played them in the playoffs, coming home for the first time in 2 weeks with controlling the magic, with controlling their fate, with controlling an opportunity to continue this, move on, get to the NLCS against either a Dodger team or a Padres team as now they take the lead 2-1. But everything on the line for this guy to come through, and he gives you 7+, and he gets through every big jam. What a remarkable performance, and what a turn that this team has taken, man. It's crazy. And then you get to the seventh inning, even, when they add another bunch of runs, when Iglesias gets the base hit. You know, Bader's thrown out stealing second base. He's out. And Turner can't catch the ball. And you know with this team, if Philadelphia makes a mistake, like not catching a ball on a perfect throw from Realmuto to throw out Bader, when they make that mistake, this Met team is going to capitalize. That's it. You walk the bases loaded. I don't care if you get the first two outs. They're going to capitalize. You give us an extra out, we're going to capitalize. They have been an absolute force of winning baseball. It's not always perfect. They've been shut down offensively through long stretches of the games. Right? They've blown a game with their bullpen on a couple of occasions. They've been down to their last final two outs. It has not been necessarily dominance, but it has been a sustained stretch of playing winning baseball, capitalizing on others' mistakes, bouncing back off of bad performances, bouncing back off of bad innings, bouncing back after bad games, making adjustments. Alonso, who couldn't get a big hit to save his life, has now hit 3 home runs, all of them the other way. In a game where the ball really didn't seem to be carrying early on, Schwarber, I thought, got it and was just short. And yet, nothing stops this team. And even if they lose later today, and I don't think they will, but even if they lose later today, Met fans, call me up, 888-808-1019. Tell me, are you afraid going to Philadelphia? I don't care if they get blown out. I don't care if Diaz blows the game. I don't care if, you know, Quintana's arm falls off. Like, I don't care what happens. I expect the Mets to win today, but even if they don't, even if it's a gut punch, even if Philadelphia is down to their last strike and find a way, I don't care. Would you be nervous heading to Philadelphia? Sure, there'd be some, you know, normal, healthy nerves. But the idea that the Mets couldn't win that game, there is no circumstance where the Mets can't win this series. None. None. And there is no circumstance that the Mets can't win the next one. Or dare I say, the whole damn thing. And if that's not, I mean, is that a bit much? Maybe. Am I counting my chickens before they hatch? Maybe. But right now, if there's ever felt like a team to do it with, if there's ever felt like a team to get behind, if there's ever felt like a bunch of guys who, for whatever reason, seem to all be pulling in the same direction and being able to do this consistently at a level I don't think I've ever seen. We've seen winning like this. You have to go back. But even in this town, right? How many World Series games in a row did the Dynasty Yankees win? But they didn't do it with this just unbelievable nature and knack for pulling these games out of the fire like this. Now, this game wasn't pulled out of the fire necessarily. This is the first time where they've actually held a lead, got a lead and kept it. But man, oh man, this is just, this team is so much fun to watch. This team does everything you would want your team to do, other than just go out there and pound everybody and win 10 to nothing and be a dominant force. Other than that, and this is probably even more fun than that, but this is special. And that's why I will say this. I have to just give you a little bit of dose of reality. Because now where you are, and I've heard multiple Met fans say it, my buddy Met fans have said it, even I heard Frank the Tank say it, and his attitude has completely changed. And God bless him. He deserves some positivity. But what I will say, I don't ever want to hear house money again. I don't want to hear they're playing with house money, and even if they lose, wow, what a season. I'm sorry. You have to capitalize on what the Mets are doing right now. In 2 weeks, 3 weeks, could you look back on this fondly? Of course you will. Of course you will. But what happens in 3 or 4 years? When this window of, oh, Stearns and Cohen and, you know, building from within, and imagine what he could do with, you know, a full complement of the purse strings ready to go in the offseason and this and that. You have no idea. We have no idea. You could look back, as Yankee fans look back on 2017 and say, man, I thought that was the beginning of one. I thought that was the beginning of multiple championships. And here we are desperate to hang on to try and get back to where we were that year. Still haven't come that close. You have to win this series now 2-0 for sure. Because as much as you want to say it's house money and this team's playing with no pressure, now there's pressure. You can't lose this series. And let's see how the Mets finally deal with some pressure. Because even in the wild card series, sure, you take the lead 1-0, there's some pressure, and you're down clearly to your last couple outs. That's always pressure. But heading in where you can't lose. Now they can't lose. You can't lose 2 games in a row. You can't have this magical run end by Philadelphia sticking it to you in Citi Field and then going back home and moving on. Like, the Mets have to win this series now. And we'll see how they respond. But if it's anything like how they've responded to every other possible test or situation, I think we all know how they will respond. And that's with winning baseball. And that's with good at-bats. And that's with capitalizing on mistakes and limiting their own to a level of which we haven't seen in this town in forever. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. And as we start the show talking about a stable franchise that's gotten hot here and winning a bunch of playoff games, and the future is bright, so bright you got to wear shades, we will make sure we touch on the other franchise in town who made news today, who continues to show why they are as inept and dysfunctional as possibly any franchise, not only in this town, not only in the NFL, but in all of professional sports, as Robert Saleh was let go earlier today. So we got to get to that. We'll preview Yankees game number 3 out in Kansas City, a game that the Yankees must win. with Clark Schmidt on.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The mound, but we'll start with the unbelievable, undeniable New York Mets.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 1227, McMonagle here with you. So right now, both teams in the NL, the Philadelphia Phillies, who for most of the year were the best team in all of baseball, let alone the National League. I know they finished with a lesser record than the Dodgers, but still, it felt like for most of the year, were the best team in the National League. The Dodgers, who are the super team, signing, you know, have Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, they go out and give a ridiculous contract to Ohtani, both are on the brink as the Padres won game 6-5, and now lead the series 2-1. And the Mets take it to the Philadelphia Phillies 7-2. And now lead that series 2-1 with a chance to end it tonight. Tonight is your night, bro. 888-808-1019. I'm going to get to Fleegs and ask him because I'm not kidding. I don't know. Considering everything that went on today, I don't know if I've ever seen Fliegelman happier to be here. Not that he's not always happy to be here, but we could all recognize what time in the morning it is. Sometimes it's just, you know, even I'm not as always fun-loving as I portray on the radio. But man, oh man, if he is not beaming. His football team fired an inept head coach. His baseball team is one win away from the NLCS. I think I know for you were at the game, right? You were at the Met game, so we'll get to his experience, but we got to get to you first. I can't let you wait. Fleegs is not going anywhere. I don't want to make you guys wait too long. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Matt in Long Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Chris. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Same here. I just want to make a couple points about the game.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows dead end in this team, how much adversity and hard they play with,
mm-hmm.
and integrity. And they showed 9 innings of fantastic baseball. Best game of the postseason. You got a great production.
Probably
on the
most complete game, yep.
Yeah. This lineup, I mean, it's not just 3 or 4 guys. Everybody's showing up tonight. Winker, Iglesias, these 2-out hits you see in these situations.
Yep.
And the pressure there in, like, you know, first and second, 2-0 outs. Manaea makes the pitches he needs to do.
Yep.
And this team is just, it's incredible. I mean, no doubt. I'm not saying they're as good as anybody.
I think Philadelphia and Los Angeles and the Dodgers are more talented than the Mets. But
yeah,
that doesn't change
I agree.
The fact that right now, like, they are as dangerous as anyone. There is no doubt. There is no team that you tell me the Mets can't beat. They don't exist right now.
Yeah, I think it's not about the best team, hottest
right.
team. And listen, I think they're going to close out tomorrow. They got Quintana, who's been looking good. A struggling Ranger Suarez.
Yep.
The Phillies need most of bullpen. And, you know, just finish out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Send the Phillies down the
No doubt. And you mentioned the bullpen, Matt. Thank you for the call. The Phillies have nobody they can throw that would breed any kind of confidence right now. The Mets have touched. I was saying this the other day. Same thing today. Like, the bullpen comes in after Nola leaves. What happens? Like, Nola starts that bottom of the sixth. He leaves with the bases loaded, nobody out, and you thought for a second they were going to get out of it, but Marte gets the big hit. Let me take another call or two, but get some of the highlights from Howie ready. We'll go through a couple of the hits. The one thing I'll say, and I heard the Marte one, I'm not knocking Howie. All of the calls are great. But I don't know if you have to mention that it's the biggest hit of their Mets career every time. It's every time. It's like, you know, I heard in Marte's, and the biggest hit, I was in the car actually driving my son back from baseball practice. But, I mean, he's not wrong. That was the biggest hit of Marte's career. Teddy in Yonkers. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, Chris. Chris, you're the greatest. Chris, I've been a Yankee fan since Mickey Mantle days. You know I'm older than Chris.
Yes.
When I'm watching Mets, I have to say I'm jealous of the Mets.
Well, right, okay? Now, who wouldn't be?
I know. And, Chris, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Mets and the way they're playing. It's like, even if they get down, they're playing so loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
And when you with that feeling, good things are bound to happen. Mm. Chris, when I'm looking at the Yankees, yeah, that first game we won, we got walks. Scott done it.
Oh, when come that on. See, that I don't want to get it. It's not about the Yankees, but since when are walks not good? Like,
okay,
what's the difference? Like, let me ask you a question. You talk about it in the sixth inning. In the sixth inning, the Mets had bases loaded, nobody out. They scored two runs on a big clutch hit from a two-out hit from Marte, right? And you mentioned game one. The Yankees were down in, I can't remember the inning off the top of my head. I think it was the fifth. Or they were losing by a run. They got bases loaded, nobody out, and they scored two runs. Are you telling me it's different because they got them on walks and Marte got a base hit?
Okay, I understand it's equivalent. It's like a math equation. They're both A is equal to B. I understand that. But, Chris, I'm talking about key situations. How many times have the Yankees left a lot of men off base? First inning.
No, I understand. Watch, how many times did Philadelphia? Like, right now, the Mets are doing something that's special. I'm not denying that, Teddy. I mean, let's take Met calls. You want to knock the can we praise the Mets without knocking the Yankees? But if you want to, like, how did the Mets load the bases with walks? Should that not count? I'm really fed. Listen, as a Yankee fan, I'm frustrated. I still think they're going to win this series, but no doubt. The Yankees are carrying the heavy weight of expectations that the Mets aren't carrying right now. And that's why I mentioned, let's see how they play today. I expect them to, without question, carry it without a problem. But they really haven't had the weight of expectations. They've had the only real, real pressure moment was we're about to get knocked out down two runs against the premier closer. Like, in that moment, Alonso hits that home run. There's immense pressure. The season's about to end. I'm not trying to say there hasn't been. But there hasn't been that feeling of, oh boy, we better win. The Yankees carry that as much as ever this year. All we did was talk about how they better win. Now, that's not excuse-making, it's just a fact, but the Yankees have left runners on, no doubt. So did Philadelphia. I didn't watch all of the game with the Dodgers and Padres, but I know the Dodgers got their ass kicked, and I'm sure they've left guys on base. Right now, what the Mets are doing is special. It's special to consistently come through. But as frustrated as I am with the Yankees, I'm starting to get tired about the negativity about walks. I'm starting to get tired about the negativity about walks, as if they're not good at bats. As if every walk was just four balls in the dirt, and they took, like, you have to work those at bats. You have to work those at bats. The Mets loaded the bases with walks in this game. That the sixth inning we're talking about, single walk. Does the rally not count because they're walks, for crying out loud? And let's be fair, the Yankees came up with that situation and scored two runs. But you like the way the Mets did it better with a base hit as opposed to two bases loaded walks. Okay. They both scored two runs in the same situation. Let's not make it, put down the Yankees to praise the Mets. The Yankees have their own issues. They'll play tonight. What the Mets are doing right now is special. They're doing it every night. It's special. You don't see it that often. Tony in Stamford. What's up, Tony?
Chris, your new name is Mets McMonagle.
That's
right. I heard you the other night talking about, Michael Kay, he talked about Yankee fans, diehard Yankee fans. And you know what? I'm rooting for the Mets. This is good. This is good for the city. I am so sick of the Chamber. I am so sick of the Chamber of Commerce Mets Yankees thing. I grew up in the bleachers of Yankee Stadium. We used to go across the street to stands on River Avenue, get our Mets stink shirt. I want to say the real word.
Yep.
Okay? And root against the Mets because we're diehard Yankee fans. Hey, listen, Yankee fans that are rooting for the Mets, for the city and the Chamber of Commerce, keep doing that. And this team, who is dangerous, I will admit they're very dangerous,
right,
will go into the World Series and we'll have nothing to win. They'll have everything to gain with Grimace jumping around and we may lose a World Series. So I am so sick of the Chris Mex monocle and Melusis and all these people. It was so loud tonight at Citi Field. I want the Mets out.
Okay, I hear you. I mean, if they make it to the World Series, you will stop hearing me. And listen, the open I just did, right? It's not about me. And it's not about who I root for. Like, when did it become that? When did it become I'm a Yankee fan, so what should I come on and do, downplay this victory? And focus strictly on the last 3 minutes of my open where they now have added pressure? Is that all I should do? Should I come on and say, oh, they'll blow it the next two games if they're not careful? I have to react to what I'm watching. And, you know, much like in politics, I don't do a talk show just for Yankee fans. When did we get like this? I happen to be rooting for the Met fan, for the Mets. I am. But that had nothing to do with my open. That's just me talking about what I saw. What should I say? They're coming through in every big situation. They were down two runs in the top of the ninth with one out and one of the best premier closers in the sport on the mound, and they came through with a three-run home run from the guy nobody expected it from. Like, what should I say? I don't understand the vitriol. And, yeah, listen, I disagree. I have no problem with what Michael Kay said. I disagree with him. I don't know how old you were, sir. What was his name? I forget his name. I don't know how old you are, you know, growing up in the... Tony. I don't know how old you are. I'm 40 years old. When I grew up, I had it over every single Met fan every day, twice on Sunday. I was watching the Yankees win World Series year after year after year. It was a foregone conclusion. I tell the story, I'll never forget. They were in the play. It was like the first round of the playoffs. It was like the first round of the playoffs. It was the ALDS. And my football coach made sure to tell us that the likelihood of the parade affecting practice, and if you miss school for the Yankee parade, you're not going to be able to play in the game. He was very adamant about not going to the Yankee parade. When they were playing in the ALDS, my football coach warned us about not going to the Yankee World Series parade. That's how much it was a matter of fact that the Yankees were going to win the World Series. That's when I grew up. I wasn't tortured by the Met fan. I didn't live through the 1980s when they were the hot team and Doc and Daryl were the sexy team and they were the sexy team in town and Keith Hernandez cooking butts in the dugout. Like, I didn't live through that. I appreciate it if you did. And I will never tell a Yankee fan he has to like the New York Mets. You hate the New York Mets? I don't see why, but if you got tortured and it's something you can't stand, fine. Whatever. But for me, I hold no ill will, nor do I care about Jim in accounting who's going to have one over on me. If the Mets, like, I don't care about that. And I work at a sports station. Like, I'm going to have to come in here and deal with it. So what? Like, so what? It doesn't bother me. It might bother some. And I don't know what to tell you. I don't think I have. And I certainly can't come on here with my anti-Met bias. I'm doing a show by myself. When I was with Cardin Roberts, I don't want to kayfabe, for all the wrestling fans know what that term is. I don't want to, you know, pull behind the curtain. But when I was playing the role of chime in, you know, every once in a while, uber Yankee fan, all right, that's when you stick it to the Mets. That's when you go all in and you're the obnoxious Yankee fan. I'm hosting a show. This is McMonagle and the Overnights. What should I do? piss off every Met fan who wants to come in and celebrate. I'm here to celebrate with everybody, baby. You guys don't get it. This is a big time. This is an exciting time for the city. I'm not going to come on here and poo-poo it because I'm a Met, because I'm a Yankee fan. Nor would I want to. I will admit, and I've said this before, if the Yankees lose to the Royals, I'm going to want misery for everyone because I'm going to be miserable myself. So if the Yankees lose to the Royals, is it going to be tough watching them play the Padres in the NLCS? Yeah, maybe. We'll find out when we get there. Hopefully we won't. Brooks in Raleigh, North Carolina. What's up, Brooks?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, love your show.
Thank you.
I was calling because I grew up in Kansas City and then I lived in Philly for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, so kind of have a different perspective from both ways. First, with the Phillies and the Mets,
mm-hmm.
If the Phillies will start hitting, I mean, they're done tomorrow, but they're gonna throw everything at them.
Well, I mean, listen, it's a must-win game for them, and they have the same problem
exactly.
Right now the Yankees have. They haven't hit. They've had the one rally that won them game two, but that's it. They have not hit. They have been shut down in this series. And that's typically what happens when teams lose.
Yeah, I mean, but if they can win, then they have Zach Wheeler.
No, listen, no doubt.
And then the Mets do not want to see him.
No doubt. So. And that's what Philadelphia is telling themselves right now. Figure out a way to win tonight, and we have one of the best pitchers in baseball at home going for game five. That's exactly what Philadelphia is telling themselves. And that's why if I'm the Mets,
I
want to win this game.
He didn't blow out his top relievers because
absolutely. No, once the game got out of hand, there's no reason. But they have to win.
Yeah.
Obviously, it goes without saying they're eliminated if they don't win tonight. But that's what Philadelphia is telling themselves. And that's the reality of it. If Philadelphia wins tonight, they are heading back home with Wheeler on the mound, who's one of the best pitchers in baseball, who threw an absolute gem his last time out against the Mets, against Kodai Senga on a 50-60 pitch count. And then, you know, go to a bullpen game, piggyback him with David Peterson. Now, that worked in game one. But who would you favor in that game? As much as I would be uber confident with the way the Mets have played and just feel like this is a magic train that won't end that way. But let's be honest, that would be a game that favors Philadelphia. Tonight's an enormous game. I think many people, certainly people who aren't Met fans or are living in the city, I would think most people will tell you the winner of tonight's game has a very good chance, clearly the Mets, but the winner of this game is probably going to win the series. I think that's probably going to be the thought around baseball, considering Wheeler in that building, game five. Jeff in South Florida. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. Yeah, I'm a similar age to you, 38, so I never understood the Yankees fans that hated the Mets.
I understand the Met fans who hate the Yankees. One, they played once when it mattered, and the Yankees beat them. I hate everyone I've lost to. And if the Mets would have won that series, maybe I'd feel differently about it. They didn't. I've never been caused an ounce of pain by the Mets in my life. I never really was upset after a Met-Yankee game or a loss. And no fan ever had.
Exactly.
How was I going to get it stuck? How was I going to get tortured in high school when the Yankees were winning World Series every year? Like, it's just, it didn't. And the Mets were nowhere to be found. Like, so
yeah.
I don't have that dynamic that some Yankee fans do.
No, I don't understand that. And as a Mets fan, you just had to bear and grin it, basically. Even 2000, I mean, that was a good opportunity for us to win that series. But after Benitez blew game one, it was over. So, I disagree a little bit on that because the Estevez, who is their most effective reliever, their closer, threw 26 pitches today, so he's going to be limited if available at all. And what's crazy is I was just looking, they realized that the Mets have scored at least one run in nine innings the Phillies bullpen pitch. They scored at least one run in eight of the nine innings. So, I mean, they need the starters to almost go the whole way. And with Suarez, who hasn't pitched good the second half, I think Mets got a great chance. I'm not wouldn't say that they have no chance to win game five. But obviously, you know, they haven't clinched a series since the series before the Yankees, World Series, ironically enough, against the Cardinals in 2000. So we do the clinch a series at home. You don't want to give a team life. And
no, it's an important game. Tonight is an important game. And for the Yankee fans who are upset with me, let me say this. This is an important game for the Mets. The Mets can't afford to lose this game. You do not want to go back to Philadelphia with the prospect of Wheeler waiting for you. You don't. You don't. Now, it's hard to say, though, like, in all just reality, it's hard to say that the Mets would have no chance in that game. How could you possibly say that with what they've accomplished? They'll be underdog. They'll be the betting underdog, and they should be. They should be. Zach Wheeler's earned that. Starting pitching, as we've seen, is important. Now, you don't have to go out and pay them, as we've seen as well. Manaea has done a great job. You know, Seth Lugo, we're going to see tonight for the Yankees, had a great year. We'll see how he performs in the playoffs. You know, and what we saw from the Yankees' high-priced starters. But starting pitching over the course of the regular season has been minimized, but you could tell in these short series, starting pitching is everything. So Zach Wheeler has earned the right to be the favorite in that game five. So tonight is an enormous game for the New York Mets. Absolutely. But it's just incredible what they've done. It's incredible what they've done. And this was the first one where it was pillar to post. This was the first game where it just felt like they dominated. Like even in the first win, it didn't feel like that, obviously. And, you know, from the start of the playoffs, Severino was shaky in the wild card game. They come from behind to win that game in game one. Clearly, game three, they win in heroic fashion after doing nothing offensively all game. So this was the first game where they took the lead and they held it and they added to it. And this was a clean, crisp victory for the New York Mets. And we'll see what later today brings. But it's a big one. Make no mistake, you do not want to go back to Philadelphia. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, still taking your Met calls. We'll start to talk about the Jets. And then as we get later in the show on this, I don't know if I've said it yet, 5-hour midnight ride, which I'm taking you all the way to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. A little later in the show, we will start to talk about the Yankees because they have a game as well. And that game is just as important, if not more so. And we got to get to Judge and whether or not he is going to accomplish what he needs to. Because there's been a common refrain about Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees. Are you really going to waste his prime? Are you really going to waste his prime? I hear it over and over again. Cashman, you can't waste Judge's prime. Can't waste his prime. 2 games in, if there's anyone to blame on why his prime might get wasted in the 2024 ALDS, nowhere to look but him. Let's go to Dan in Belmar real quick. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, good. Doing good after that Mets win. I hear you talking about how important this game is tonight, and I agree with you, obviously. But I think it's also important for the Mets to take care of business in Queens. I want no part of going back to Philly facing Wheeler again. Not that I would doubt the team at all. You know, they've shown all year that they have it in them. But just want no part of it. Ended in Queens. I think it'd be big for the fan base finally winning something at Citi Field, moving on to the NLCS, mm-hmm. and it happening at Citi Field. Most of the Mets' accomplishments this year, if you look back on it, especially these past, you know, couple weeks, have taken place on the road. So I think it'd be big, you know, to get that feat under, to get that taken care of, you know, at home in front of the home crowd.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that's would be nice. I don't know how important it is. I got to be totally honest with you. If I try and put myself in the fan shoes now, for the 40,000 or so people that will be there, yeah, absolutely, that'd be great, right? Great. But if I'm the typical fan who's going to be watching at home, if you told me I knew I was going to win, one way or another, the Mets are going to win the series. You want to win in four just because you want to be able to set up your pitching however you want. You want as much time off. You don't want to have to play as many games. But what would be sweeter? Like, think about it, Met fans, because I've heard the gentleman on the other side say it. I've heard Evan say it for years. One of the biggest regrets this fan base has had in recent memory is Zach Wheeler signing with Philadelphia. and how, oh, if the owner only would have signed if the new owner would have only come on a year earlier, Wheeler would be pitching for the Mets. If you could go into Philadelphia and beat Zach Wheeler to break the hearts of the Phillies and their fans, that's a pretty good win. I mean, which one would I get more pumped up about? Which one would I get, you know, which would I feel better with? I'd feel better with being my back to the wall again, showing resiliency again, and going into that building, into that city, beating the guy who I consider the one who got away and sticking it to Bryce Harper in his building in a city that he is so connected with since signing there. Oh, that's how you want to do it. I know you want to do it at home, and certainly for the 40,000 or so people who would be in the building, yes, you definitely want to be there to see it. But if you're just a typical Met fan watching it at home, oh, I would love to go in there and do it in Philadelphia, no doubt. Like, in my mind right now, I'm just trying to think. Like, don't you think as much as the Red Sox would have liked to beat the Yankees in 04 in Fenway, at home in front of the crowd, wasn't it pretty sweet to do it in Yankee Stadium? Like, same thing. Right now, the imagine of celebrating in Fenway or celebrating in Houston, if the Yankees ever get a chance again to play the Astros, would I want to clinch against them at home, or do I want to do it in Houston? I want to do it in Houston. I want to see that stupid train. I want to see all of it. 888-808-1019. Jonathan, Los Angeles. What's up, John?
How's it going, man?
Really good. How are you?
Show, love, listen. Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Well, thank you.
So I'm a Yankee fan, T-Mac, and I love the way that you're honest and you're real and you're raw, like what you say, man. You're not just, you know, saying things out the blue, bro. I love your honesty. So that's why I'm calling you. I've been wanting to call you late night, and I want to ask you, so what's your prediction right now, T-Mac? Like, us Yankee fans, should we even worry a little? Or what do you think? I'm not worried about the Royals, but what do you think, C-Mac? And where do you see the Yankees going as far as, like, do you see us going to the World Series or where, man? Once again, great show, C-Mac.
Well,
great
thank
show.
You, Jonathan. Thank I appreciate you. That. Real quick, before the break, yes. Well, first off, you should be worried about Kansas City. By no means do I think there's nothing to fear. They're tied 1-1 going to Kansas City. I'm a little fearful. You got to have a good, healthy sense of being afraid. But I do think they're going to win the series. And I think they're the best team in the American League. And we haven't really been able to say that definitively for a long time. And I honestly believe the last time we were really able to say that was probably 2009. Maybe 2010 when the Rangers got them, but the Rangers are pretty good. That's probably the last time we were able to say that, and they won. So in my mind, do I think that they have a really good chance to go to the World Series? I do. I think they're going to go to the World Series. But I am very worried about tonight. I'll feel much better. If they get through Kansas City, I'll feel really good about going to the World Series. Because in a 7-game set, I don't think Cleveland or Detroit in a 7-game series is good enough to beat the Yankees. I expect Cole to be much better moving on throughout the playoffs. I expect Rodon to be, you know, slightly better. I do. He's gotten that first one out of his system. He showed all that emotion. I would think he'd tone it down a little bit. I'm not saying he'll go out there and throw 7 shutty. But I do think he'll pitch a little bit better. And plus, I like Clark Schmidt and I like Luis Gil. When you look at some of the other starters, like, right now, they've got the team that has the best starters. Like, Reagans and Lugo and Waka, for whatever reason, pitches well to Judge in particular. But, like, that's as good as it's going to get. Now, yeah, the best pitcher in baseball pitches for the Detroit Tigers. But other than that, they're throwing, you know, they're opening series with openers and bulk guys. And Cleveland has, you know, hardly any starting pitching, if at all. And their Superman Class A just got touched up for a 3-run bomb and is the reason they lost game 2. So I would feel pretty confident in a 7-game series against either one of those teams. it's getting out of this round. I am more nervous about this round against Kansas City just because of the short nature of a five-game series than I am about the ALCS. But what do I think? I think they're the best team, and I think they're going to the World Series. And then no matter who they play in the National League, it'll be their toughest opponent. 888-808-1019. And hopefully it's the Mets. I would love to see a Subway Series. And like I said, I was on with Evan and Tiki the other day for a brief moment. And like I said, I would love to see a Subway Series because there is only one way. Only one way to kill Positive Tommy. And I think we can all agree we need to end Positive Tommy. And there's only one way to do it. And that's with the New York Yankees defeating the New York Mets in the World Series. That's what we need. That will just culminate a great baseball season, don't you think?
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.